And thank you so much, Pastor. Church family, can we just stand together one more time? Can we stand all around the building? And can we just give Jesus just the biggest praise this morning? Can we do that? God, we just thank you for what you're doing in this house. God, we give you praise. We give you honor. God, I just pray right now as we step into a moment in your word. God, we just give you thanks. We give you praise for what you're doing in our lives. God, because when we stop and we look, there's evidence, God, of your hand moving and providing. There's evidence, God, of you changing and transforming our hearts. God, there's evidence of you in our community. And so, God, we just stop and we pause and we give all the thanks. We give all the praise to you this morning. God, you are worthy of all our praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor, thank you so much for having me and for being such an amazing host today. I got to tell you that my family and I have been in South Dakota for about 21 months. We spent 15 years in Omaha, Nebraska as worship and discipleship pastors. And before that, we were in the great state of Tennessee. And so just a little bit north of Nashville, my family and I are from a city called White House. And right now, I've got, just to give you a little intro of who I am, I have five kids. And so my oldest son is 22 years old, and he is a student at Trinity Bible College, and he's studying youth ministry. My other son is, his name is Jackson, and he is 20, and he's down in Birmingham, Alabama. And he was studying worship, and this last semester he called and said, Dad, asked him what he was doing. It was a Sunday, and usually the cafeteria where he's going to school is closed. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying, I'm fasting, because God's just been moving in my heart. And so he moved from worship to family ministries, because God's put on his heart to start a company for foster and a foster care agency. And so my oldest daughter, her name is Jillian, and she's going to be going to Birmingham, Alabama as well, to go to Bible college and to study to be a pastor evangelist. God is doing an amazing work in her life right now. She's a junior in high school. And then my last two kiddos, their names are Lena and Diamond, and they're 5 years old. And we had the opportunity just to step into foster care about 5 years ago. So we took them home from the hospital. They were born with methamphetamines and alcohol and just generations of abuse and neglect. And we had a chance to bring them home and foster them. And in the foster care world, we don't just take care of the kids. You take care of the whole family, not just the kiddos. But we had a chance to, a few days after, I love FaceTime, where you can talk face-to-face with people. And so we FaceTimed the twins' mom. And we just loved on her and just said, listen, we're in your corner, and we want to see you heal. We want to see God do restorative work in your life. And we just said, we're here in your corner, and we've got your babies. They're safe. We're going to take care of them, and we're going to cheer you on. And mom wasn't able to get things turned around, and so we had the opportunity to adopt our little girls. And so they are ours. They're Cristobals now. And we love how energetic, how fun our family is. And that's just a little bit of a peek into our life. And so as our family has moved to Brandon, we're getting a chance to work side by side with Pastor Kirk Strand. He's the superintendent in South Dakota, and he's been our pastor for 34 years. And so we get a chance just to step in and just support him as he's wrapping up an amazing year of ministry. But as I got to Sioux Falls, we had been maybe in town for like 3 or 4 days, and we loaded a trip with Evan Versteg, Cody's brother, and headed to the Black Hills for camp. And I'm just telling you, after moving your entire family from Omaha to South Dakota, we needed family, and Evan Versteg was family to us. And as I unpacked all of our kids and got our high school students planted in the cabin we were staying at, every morning I would get up at 6 o'clock and I would walk out, and there was this pastor praying and just calling on the Lord and worshiping, and it was Larry Wanamaker. And so I just want to let you know, man, the pastor that you have is the same outside of this church as he is in the building. And so can we just bow our heads, and we're just going to pray over Pastor Larry and Jody as God is just giving them a moment to rest and to refresh We just want God, we just want to ask this morning that God would bless him, amen? He has been so faithful to us with our pastors. And so God, right now we just lift up Pastor Larry and Jody. God, and we're so thankful for the work that you're doing in their lives. God, for the investment that they make in this neighborhood. God, as they step into schools and as they're praying over the next generation, God, we're so grateful that you're not just calling them to shepherd and to lead this congregation, but God, you're calling them to change the landscape of a community. And so God, I just pray right now for Inwood, Iowa, God, that this would be a place that reflects your glory. God, that there wouldn't be a single neighborhood that we could drive down, a street that we could cross, God, where your presence isn't represented. God, I just thank you for a pastor who loves his people and is calling on you, who is seeking your face daily for vision and for direction. And I pray for 2026, God, that they would say that this church, that New Life, would see growth and an encounter with your presence like they have never seen before. God, we need you to move in a real way. God, we're looking for your presence in more than just an emotional experience. But God, we're asking God that you would do heart transformation in our lives. God, we're praying for the lost and the broken in the neighborhoods, God, in this community. God, for we're praying over marriages, for young people that have run from you. And God, we're just asking that New Life Assembly of God would be a lighthouse in its community. God, that every man and every woman, every young person, God, that as they leave this place, that they would be salt and that they would be light. God, that we would be able to speak life over this community. God, we love you. We're so thankful for Larry and for Jody. God, I thank you for what you're doing in both of their lives. And I just pray as they rest today, God, that they would encounter your presence in a tangible way. God, and as they come back, I pray, God, that they'd be so full of passion and direction for this house. God, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 I want to just welcome some guests. I believe they're guests because it's the first time I've met them, but we have a group of North Central students with us who are studying youth ministry or who are reaching broken kids. Who are studying for missions. Church, can we just give our friends from North Central just a huge hand this morning and welcome them? It's so good to have you guys. Before I step into my message, we're going to do one more thing because we believe in the next generation. We believe in the calling that God has on your life. And you're not at North Central by accident. You're there on purpose. There's a lot of places you could have gone. There's a lot of things you could have studied. But before you were born, before you took your first breath, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. And that hasn't changed. And I don't know how your semester's going. I don't know. Some of you guys are juniors. Some of you guys are first years, I believe. But God is going to finish the work he started in you. And I believe that with all my heart. I just want to say thank you for saying yes to the call of God on your life. And that there's never a season that you'll walk through that God won't be faithful in. So church, can we just bow our heads one more time and can you just reach your hand over to our students just right here across the aisle from you or maybe in front of you. God, we're just so grateful for the church. God, that the church is so much greater than Sioux Falls, than Inwood, but God, it reaches across our country, it reaches across our world. And right now, God, as you are designing purpose and as you called them, Lord, to minister to children, to minister in missions, God, as you called them to preach your word, God, I just pray right now that you would fill them with an anointing, God, that they would know that you have called them and that you've given them great purpose. God, I pray right now that you would just be their shield, God, that any words of discouragement, any kind of struggles they've been walking through, God, I pray right now, Father, that you would just remind them, God, that you called them, God, that it wasn't an accident, but God, that you called them for purpose. And you've called them for great things. Thank you that you're doing great things in this generation. I just pray, God, that you would go before them, order their steps. And I pray that their ministries, God, would just be marked with your presence. And it's in your name we pray. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen one more time. One more time. Amen. Well, we are, I believe, in week 3 of a sermon series. And Brandon Assembly of God, as well as you guys, we've been in a pursuit of 21 days of prayer and fasting themed Seek First His Kingdom. And so what a great way to start 7 days of just realizing the names of our Lord, realizing that he's our shepherd, realizing that he's our refuge, realizing that he's our provider. And in Matthew chapter 6:33, it's been our theme verse over these last couple of weeks. And it simply says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. This passage of scripture is taken right out of the Sermon on the Mount as people are worried about, God, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? God, these are the things that I need. I don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow. And Jesus kind of flips the script on them and he says, listen, let's stop talking about what you need and let's talk about what I want you to seek, what I want you to look for, what I want you to pursue. And last week you talked about pursuing his kingdom. And you talk, think about his king, a kingdom has a king, and the king that we serve has all authority. Somebody say all authority. The king that we serve has all authority. That as you look at this picture of the disciples crossing the sea, and as the winds and the waves begin to pick up, and Jesus wakes up out of the bottom of the boat, and he speaks peace over the storm in their life. Why? Because he had authority over all things. That's what God wants to do in our lives. You think about, he has all authority, but he's won every single battle. And you looked at this picture in Isaiah as the Lord was high and lifted up and the train of his robe filled the temple. You get this picture of how majestic and how powerful that the king that we serve has won every battle. Pastor Larry may have told you that back in those days that kings would, after a victory, after a king would conquer another kingdom, that nation would come march back into the city with the king in front and the generals and then the soldiers behind them. And then behind them would be the prisoners, the ones that they took captive. And what Jesus did on the cross for us when he conquered our sin is that the word says that he made a public spectacle of our sin. That sin does not have authority over our lives. That sin has no more power. It has no hold on our lives. Why? Because Jesus has won all of our battles. And what conquering kings used to do is they would cut off a piece of the conquered king's robe. And they would attach it to their own. And so these king's robes would be full with gems. Would be stitched with gold. But it was significant because many pieces of those king's robe would be marked by the victories, by the battles that were won previously. So when you and I look at this passage in the book of Isaiah, and we see Jesus, our Lord, high and lifted up, and you look at his robe that fills the temple, you and I can see part of the victories that he's won in our lives. We're reminded that when I struggle with insecurities, when I struggle with things from my past, God wants to remind you, you get to walk in authority today because I've won all of your battles. So this morning, as we look at this message, we really want to seek first his righteousness this morning. We want to seek first his righteousness. And if there's one thing that maybe as you get into your vehicles this afternoon to drive home and throughout the week, I want you to remember this, that righteousness, Jesus calls us, is not our own. But he's called us to seek the righteousness he's already provided for us. Jesus is asking us this morning to seek the righteousness that he's already provided for us. In the World War, there was a moment where a prisoner had escaped a concentration camp. And the next day, as they found out that this individual had escaped, they said, because he escaped, we're going to take 10 of you. And you're going to be executed because this one escaped. And as they line up these 10 individuals in this concentration camp, there's one father that's calling out to his wife and calling out to his children. And there was a priest named Maximus. As he watched this happen in front of him, this father telling his wife how much he loved her and his children, that everything is going to be okay. The priest stops and says, listen, can I take his place? And the soldiers agreed that this priest, Maximus, could take the place of this father. And there in that place, this priest changed places with this prisoner. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us today, is he's changed places with us. That the word says that there was none of us, not even one, righteous. Let me back up and just share that scripture with us. That in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, it says this, that he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sins and live for forgiveness by his wounds, you and I have been healed. I love this picture that Jesus took our place, that something that each one of us, we deserved, each one of us, because of the life that we lived, we deserved punishment. And I'm not saying that the individual in this concentration camp deserved where they were, because they absolutely did not deserve that. But what I want us to see is this beautiful picture of how Jesus didn't just send somebody else to die for us, but God himself came and he took our place. He took our righteousness, which was filthy rags, and he took that upon himself. There's a couple of things I want to talk to us about this morning. And there's three things, and that's that Jesus carried our sin. Secondly, Jesus covers our sin. And finally, Jesus conquers our sin. As you look at this passage of scripture at the end of Matthew chapter 6, 33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All these things that God knows, listen, I know you need clothing. I know that you need food. There's things that you need. And I would imagine every time I looked at this passage of scripture, I always think about tangible things that God, it'd be great to have a little bit bigger house. It'd be great that you provide all for my bills. But I would imagine maybe some of you are here this morning and what you need isn't monetary. What you need this morning is peace in your hearts. There may be some of you in this room that you've gone home and it's hard for you to sleep at night because you're worried and you're heavy with anxiety. Maybe some of you in this room, you know someone in your family that you're just saying, God, I need them to meet you. I need them to have an authentic relationship with you. Jesus, I need direction in my life. Maybe there's individuals, whatever it is that you need, may not be material today. But Jesus is saying to you, if you'll seek my kingdom, if you'll understand that I have all authority, that I've won all your battles, that I have a plan and a purpose for you. And he's saying, listen, today I want you to focus on if you'll seek my righteousness. If you'll seek my righteousness, everything else will be added to you. Maybe some of you have shame or you've got guilt this morning, and Jesus is saying to you this morning, I want to remove shame. I want to remove guilt from your life. And the first thing he says today, that as we seek his righteousness, he wants us to understand that Jesus carried our sins. That Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. Jesus didn't come to die on a cross to remind us of all the things we didn't do right. Maybe some of you are dealing with shame or guilt this morning, and shame is just that idea that God, no, I didn't just do something bad. I myself am bad. I myself don't measure up. And Jesus, can I just tell you this morning that those aren't thoughts. Those aren't ideas that come from our Savior. Those aren't ideas, those aren't labels that God gives to us. But those are things that God is saying, listen, I want to overcome. I came so that you could overcome shame in your life. I came so that you could overcome guilt in your life. Shame is that idea that I'm a bad person. Guilt is that idea, God, I've done too many bad things, and I've got this guilt that I live with. God came today so that each one of us could walk out of this place with freedom in our lives. How do we do that? How do we walk with authentic freedom, that kind of authentic relationship with the Lord, is by understanding, Jesus, I'm just going to seek you first this year. I don't have all the answers. God, I'm striving to give my best to you with my business, with my family, with my education, whatever it is. And God, before I start to strive, before I start to do this all myself, God, I just accept that if I just seek you first, your kingdom, your righteousness, God, your plan for my life, not my plan, but God, yours. God says this, I'll add everything you need. If there's something, if you need confidence, if you need direction, if you need peace in your life, whatever it is you came in here needing today, Jesus is saying, I got you. If you'll just seek me, I will give you everything that you need. Amen? Can we say that amen one more time? Amen. Amen. Jesus, let me just tell you in 1 Peter, as I just read that, I'm going to read it one more time. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. It says, by his wounds we've been healed. Jesus didn't ignore our sins. Jesus didn't just take the issues of our life and sweep them underneath the rug. But here's what Jesus did, is that he said, listen, I'm going to take your sins, your faults, and I'm going to carry them on myself. Why did he do that? He fought our battles so that you and I could experience the victories in life. The things that you and I struggle with, he says, listen, I died on a cross so that you wouldn't have to bear that. I took it upon myself. All of your sin, all of your shame, all of your guilt, I took that upon myself so that you could experience the victory that I won for you on the cross. Every failure, every secret struggle, every shame-filled memory, God took those things upon himself so that you and I could walk in victory. Here's what I understand as I worked through this passage throughout this month is that God wants to change the way we live our lives. Now, some of us, sometimes the walk that we live is a little bit tentative. Sometimes it's a little bit timid. Sometimes it's a little bit fearful. And God is saying, there's a whole lot more inside of you. There's a whole lot more inside of you. There's a whole lot more boldness. There's a whole lot more dreaming that God wants you to do. But he's saying, listen, if you want to fulfill the dreams, if you want to fulfill the purpose, you've got to seek me first. And as you seek him first, you'll find yourself living with a different kind of freedom, with a different kind of authority that you never have before. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, it says this, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That's what Jesus did for us. In him, we might become the righteousness of God. That's what he did for us. We don't achieve righteousness, we receive it. And that's one of the things I think that so often I see my twins and my 22-year-old, doesn't matter how old you get, you're constantly trying to work really hard just to show approval, just to say, God, are you pleased with me? Dad, Mom, are you pleased with me? Because I want to make you proud. And God is saying, listen, there's nothing that you can do to earn that. God is saying, listen, I've already done it for you. You don't achieve righteousness. You just have to receive it. And that's what God wants to awaken us to this morning is the righteousness that you and I are seeking is not our own righteousness, but Jesus come to cover us. He's come to carry us. The second point I want to make today is that Jesus covers our sin. Jesus covers our sin. In Psalm 32, verses 1 through 2, it says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. It reminds me of there's a principle called the first mention. And when you think about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, that as Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself, our sins upon himself, he said, listen, I'm gonna take your past, your failures, and I'm gonna put it on myself. Sinless, perfect Lamb of God, and he carried it for us. But as we look at this, it wasn't the first time that the Lord covered us. Amen. That we go all the way back to the garden in chapter 3 when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and they took the bite of that fruit. And when I was a little kid, used to pass out. Anybody remember the Chick Tracks from back in the day that you'd pass out? Did you guys have those? We used to have ones that were $20 bills, and so you'd fold it and crumple it up and it looked like a 20. And so my sister and I would ride the bus. We would throw it on the ground. And we would just, and people would just be like, is that yours? That's a $20 bill. And so they'd pick it up and they'd open it up and it's like, Jesus loves you. So it's like kind of a good thing and disappointing at the same time because someone thought they found 20 bucks. So my sister and I loved those. But when I was a kid, you would read these tracts and here's Adam and Eve with these little leaves on themselves. But when you read Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they tried as soon as they took the bite of that fruit. They realized that they had sinned against the Lord. They had realized nothing had changed, but they had realized, man, I'm naked. And they began to try to cover themselves because they were ashamed. And I can't imagine that Gucci would ever endorse fig leaves or Michael Kors or whatever, Wrangler. But here's what Jesus says, and I love this picture, is that as they hear the Lord walking in the garden, I love the fact that even when we fall, even when we fail, God still walks with us. That even in our failures, God didn't run from us. God didn't just say, sorry guys, you lost. You had your chance. But they heard the Lord walking in the garden. And what does he do? He says, good try, guys, trying to cover yourselves. Let me provide an animal. Let me provide a covering for you. And he provides this covering for Adam and Eve that completely covers their nakedness. So that they wouldn't have to walk in guilt. They wouldn't have to walk in shame. And I just want us to understand that that's what God continues to do inside of us. That no longer are they exposed. No longer are they Are they ashamed of themselves? I love this passage of scripture, and I've always loved it. But this picture in Psalm chapter 103, 12, it says this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions for us. My mom used to be a bookkeeper for a company in California, and every tax season, she would sit down at our dinner table, and she'd be doing the books for the church. She'd be doing taxes for other people, and you could just hear her 10-key. Anybody know what a 10-key is? And she was like a machine. I mean, you just hear it. It was like rain falling on a tin roof. She was so fast. But imagine this. Everything that you and I have ever spent, our debts, all of the payments, everything financially that we've ever spent, there's a record of it someplace. And imagine just that record just being completely, listen, we're going to give you a fresh start, and we're going to wipe that record completely clean as if you never spent a single dollar. That's exactly what Jesus has done for us with forgiveness, is that he has wiped our slate clean, that every sin, every bad thought, and I know this is a simple gospel message, but here's the truth, is that when we recognize God, that God has wiped our slate clean, it changes the way that we love people. It changes the way that we see ourselves. It changes the way that we walk out our faith. Why? Because I'm not held back anymore by my past failures. God's made me clean again. He's given me a brand new start. Jesus has covered our sins. So Jesus carried our sins. Jesus covered our sins. And the last thing I want to talk to you guys this morning is that Jesus, he's also conquered our sins. Jesus conquered our sins. And I know I'm passing a few scriptures. Let me back up. Yeah, let me just keep going. Jesus conquered our sins. Jesus didn't just forgive our sins, he broke its power in our lives. Let me say that one more time. Jesus didn't just forgive us of our sins. Jesus broke the power of sin in our lives. There's not a single one of us in this room that doesn't wrestle, that doesn't battle with sin in our life. We all battle with it. We all struggle with it. And when I was a kid growing up, I'd go to camps, and the camp's evangelist would always say, listen, sin's going to take you farther than you plan to go and keep you longer than you plan to stay. It'll take you farther than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And how many of us in this room, day to day, we start new years and we're just like, Jesus, I want to give my life to you afresh. I want to give my life to you in a way where you can do whatever it is you want to do in my life. But we wrestle with this sin in our lives that constantly wants to try to come and get our attention, constantly wants to try to give shame to us or make us feel guilty. And Jesus this morning is saying, I didn't just forgive you, I conquered sin. I didn't just remove it, I conquered sin. Because here's the truth. In Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, it says this, our old self was crucified with him. It's this idea that God, I don't live anymore, but Jesus, it's you that lives inside of me. That you and I, the moment we said, Lord, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, we're saying, God, it's no longer my agenda anymore, but Jesus, I want it to be yours. We die to ourself and we live for Christ. And the rest of that passage, it says this, that we should no longer be slaves to our sins, but we would be free from sin. That there was I keep wanting to walk right off this platform. It's like the seventh time I've done that. I love the idea that Jesus set you free. Think about just for a second that there's things that you've struggled with. There's temptations that you've had on a regular basis. And Jesus came this morning to remind you, he has set you free. You are no longer a slave to your sin. Why? Because Jesus has conquered sin in your life. So we don't have to be so busy seeking our own righteousness. We don't have to be so busy trying to sew our own fig leaves together, because Jesus came to be the covering for our lives. Jesus came to conquer the sin in our life. And this scripture reminds us day to day, just seek his kingdom first. Seek his authority. Seek his power. Every kingdom also has a plan. It has a mission. That when you and I live seeking Jesus first, we start thinking about the mission that God's given to us. That Jesus came to seek and to save the lost.
So when you and I drive down the main road in Inwood, we're not just thinking about the duties we have to do today. We're thinking about the lost in the grocery store. We're thinking about the lost that we do business with. We're thinking about people who are far from the Lord and just saying, God, you've called me to them. Why? Because I seek you first. You remind me daily because I seek you first. I'm not so overwhelmed with all the things I've got to do anymore. Why? Because you order my steps. Because what I'm doing is about your business. God came this morning just to say this to you. He carried your sins. All the guilt, all the shame, all your failure, all your past sins, you don't have to carry them anymore. Because Jesus carried it for you. Maybe some of you in this room, you can say honestly, I don't know how to lay it at his feet. I don't know how to surrender that. Can I just tell you, when Jesus said it's finished, he's already done it for you. He's already done it. He said it's finished. He stole the keys to death, hell, and the grave. It has no power over you anymore. And Jesus is saying, just let me carry it. That's how you seek his righteousness. By saying, God, it's yours. I'm not going to be weighed down by this temptation anymore because you conquered it. That covering, that Jesus, that you've been trying to develop your own sense of righteousness. God, I showed up. The word says that our righteousness was as filthy rags. And that's just not one person in that passage of scripture. It's talking about an entire nation. Where God's people, they were set up. But listen, all the religious traditions that they tried to do, all the worship, all of the singing, all the things that they've had in place didn't work for them anymore. God said, listen, you've gone a far way from me. So God removed them from the promised land and put them into exile because it wasn't good enough. Because what they were called to do was seek first his kingdom. And that's what God is reminding us today is just listen, stop striving. Stop trying to do it all yourself. And if you'll just seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, everything you need, God will give to you. And God, what did the scripture say this morning in our blessing? Immeasurably more. God wants to give you immeasurably more than you can ask or even imagine. That's what God wants to do for you when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. So Jesus carried our sins. He covered our sins. Jesus conquered our sins. And he didn't just stop there. And would you just stand with me this morning? All around the room, would you stand? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, and you might not have this passage of scripture back there. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, it says this, that God sent forth his son so that you might receive adoption as sons and as daughters. That as Jesus carried our sin, as he covered us, as he's conquered your sins, he's also said, listen, you're not just a stranger to me. You're not just an outsider anymore, but God, you're my family. You're my family. And right now, as we just celebrate and as we pray over 21 days of prayer and fasting, there are things that God wants to conquer in our lives. There's a different way that Jesus is asking us to walk. And I believe that God has revival for Inwood. I believe that as there are leaders in this room, not just church leaders, but community leaders, that God is saying, listen, I'm calling you to walk with new authority. Not because of your name, but because of my name. Because not because of who you are and what you've accomplished, but because of who I am and what I've accomplished. So we're going to pray just over a few things this morning. Can we do that? We're going to pray over Inwood. We're going to pray for new life first. And then let's pray for some individuals. Can you bow your heads and just close your eyes this morning? And as you heard this message and you're honestly here and you're saying, you know what, I needed to hear this today. Because I've been carrying the burden of my sin and I've given my heart to Jesus a long time ago, but there's still guilt there. There's still some shame there. And God is saying, listen, I've set you free from that. Can you just slip up your hand if you've been pursuing Jesus, you've been chasing after him, but there's still some shame. There's still some guilt. There's still some insecurities. Thank you. You can put your hand. Is there somebody else this morning that you're just saying, that's me. Thank you. You can put your hand down. And you're just saying, I want to live with that kind of freedom that says, I am completely loved and God takes pleasure in my life. Is there somebody else this morning you honestly say, you know what, there's just days where I don't feel good enough. I don't feel like I measure up. In fact, I'm not sure if I'll ever measure up, if that's ever been a thought in your mind that you still wrestle with. Can you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray this morning together over these individuals. And as we pray, church family, you can open up your eyes. We are in 21 days of prayer and fasting. God wants to do some things in our lives. And so what we're going to do is we're going to call on the name of the Lord. Because the word says that when we call on him, what? He hears us and he answers us. So we're going to lift up our voices. And I want you to pray this morning as if you're leading this prayer. Can we do that? Let's just pray that God would set us free from guilt and shame. And that we would understand he's carried our sin. Can we just pray as God leads you? Let's lift up our voices and let's pray this morning. So God, we just thank you right now for a season of prayer. We thank you, Jesus, for a season where we can just seek first your kingdom. God, where we can call on your name. God, we thank you that you carried our sin for us. But God, right now there are days when I don't feel like I measure up. There are days when I still feel full of shame or where I still carry guilt. And this morning, I need you to teach me how to surrender. God, I need you to teach me to leave my sins, God, and my transgressions just at your feet. Because God, I want you to learn, I want you to teach me how to walk in authority. I want you to teach me, God, how to walk in boldness. God, I want to be the man, the woman, God, that you called me to be. But God, first I need to seek your kingdom. So will you teach me? God, teach me how to surrender my guilt and my shame to you. Thank you, God, that you carried all of my sin. And God, that you made me white as snow. God, that you cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, Jesus, that the battles you fought for me, God, you gave me the victory for. And so, God, I pray that you would teach me how to walk in boldness. Teach me how to walk in freedom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Church, we're going to pray over Pastor Larry and Jody and just the church leaders here, that God would give them just a refreshing, that God would give them just fresh vision and life. Can we do that? Can we just raise our voices? And I'm going to pray. But again, I want you to pray as if you're leading this prayer. And we're just going to pray that God speaks to our pastor, to our church leaders in a powerful way. Let's do that together this morning. So God, we just thank you that you have a plan and that you have a purpose for New Life Assembly. God, and right now we just lift up Pastor Larry and Jody. We lift up the board. God, we lift up every church leader and volunteer. God, that you would be with them. God, that they would catch your heart for this house. God, that this church is on mission, God, to reach lost people in the community. And so, God, I just pray right now that we would not grow weary in the middle of doing good, but God, that you would lift up our heads. God, that it wouldn't be about one individual, but God, it would be about bringing honor, that it would be about bringing glory to the name of Jesus. God, that as people come to this house, that there would just be an immediate experience, God, in your presence through our worship. God, I just pray for revival in this house. God, that every single Sunday as this worship team leads your people, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in hearts in a way that it never has before. So God, we're just praying that you would raise up disciples. God, we're praying that you would raise up leaders in this house. God, we're praying that there would just be an unshakable unity amongst leaders in this place. God, we thank you that the best is yet to come. God, that you've done great things so far over generations and generations in this place. But God, we believe the best is still yet to come. And so God, I just pray that you would open up our hearts. And I pray, God, that when you speak to us, we wouldn't be afraid. But God, we would have a boldness, we would have a courage to chase after your purpose and your calling on our lives. God, and we confess that we can't do it on our own, but God, that there's nothing that's impossible for you. So I pray for New Life Church, New Life Assembly of God, that they would be known as a church that chases after you, that they'd be known as a church, God, that reaches lost people, that they would be known as a church that is fearless faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen. We're going to pray over one more area, and then we're just going to worship the Lord and close out this morning. Can we do that? But more than ever before, the young generation in our community is facing anxiety and depression and discouragement and a rampant weight rate. When I was a child, I used to leave the house in the morning and I wouldn't come back until dinner time. And right now, there are parents that won't even let their kids cross the street, but they'll let them get on social media and they're exposed to all sorts of things. So we're going to pray over the next generation in our community. Amen. We're going to pray for broken marriages. We're going to pray for lost loved ones. Can anybody raise your hand if you got, if you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Somebody that is far from the Lord, just raise your hand. All of us know somebody that doesn't know Jesus this morning. So we're going to pray for our city. We're going to pray for our leaders this morning that God would give us a heart to trust him. Amen. Let's do that. Lift up your voices this morning. Let's pray one more time. God, we just thank you for Inwood, Iowa. God, we thank you that your eyes are looking for people whose hearts are set on you. And so, God, this church, as we rise up, God, your eyes are on this city. And I just pray right now for broken marriages all across Inwood. God, that you would surround them with men and women who love you. God, I pray right now for that man, that husband or that wife that's battling addictions. God, right now, I thank you that you break the chains of addiction. And so, God, right now, we speak to alcoholism. We speak over pornography. God, we speak over gossip. God, we speak over anything that has a hold on people who are far from you this morning. And we just pray that you would tear down the strongholds in their life. God, right now, we just pray over the next generation for teenagers and for young adults, for our elementary students. God, I thank you for open doors in our school. God, that as you're calling new life to pray over our schools, God, I pray that you would raise up intercessors, God, to seek your face, God, and to call on your name and to pray for the things that are impossible. God, right now, we just pray that the community leaders, the mayor, God, the teachers, the principals, God, the law enforcement individuals, the volunteers in this community, God, I pray that their hearts would be set on you, that Inwood wouldn't just have churches that call on you, but that Inwood, Iowa would become a community and a city that calls on the name of Jesus. God, we believe that you have great things in store for us, and we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Can we just give God a huge hand?